Hey everyone, welcome to the Peony.
Hi, welcome. I'm Lex.
I'm Julia, and I'm very happy that you're here. We have a very interesting, fun conversation today. Amazing human being.
Yes, we do.
We obviously fangirl about all the top thirsty, gorgeous men. Will Smith, who is killing it on TikTok, by the way. Christopher Jamal Evans. Which now I've just been sending you and Janae. Oh, I don't even know if I have Janae's correct number. I don't know if I have her correct Instagram. I'm sending it to her businesses, her company's Instagram, DMing her thirsty gifs of Chris Evans.
That's really the only way to build friendships in modern times, you know?
Yeah.
Just here's Chris Evans with a dog. Here's Chris Evans shirtless. Here's Chris Evans in a variety of sweaters, you know,
whatever. That man can wear fill a sweater. Out a sweater. Like nobody's business. And I'm sure Janae would agree.
Yeah, I do think the sweater was probably my favorite character in Knives Out. So,
yes. If we're talking Knives Out only, I would say yes. If we're talking all of Chris Evans, I would say the last Captain America, or the last... some of his last films as Captain America, where he had like the long hair and the scruff.
Whew!
That that like kind of like bad boy, I ride a motorcycle kind of Evans. I'm very, very into. Very like the clean cut.
Like, it's nice.
It's cute, but it's also kind of like, I don't know, I play polo. Versus like long hair bearded Chris Evans is kind of like
I play lacrosse.
I might try to have sex with you in the hallway of a nightclub, and that, you know,
also
I know it's
known
not
as
for
lacrosse.
Everyone, but okay, we're gonna have to bring Janae into this conversation to confirm. We're gonna have to bring her in to this conversation.
And we will.
Janae Thompson is our guest this week. She is the founder of Sequa Entertainment. She comes from a musical family, so she knows a little bit about the entertainment industry. And with her company, she aims to provide branding and social media management for creatives. So ultimately, we know that there are a lot of channels out there to get your content or your creations or your brand or your personality out there. There's TikTok, there's Instagram, there's so much. And Janae is someone who basically helps you take the guesswork and the brain work out of it, helps you come up with a strategy that is very much genuine to who you are and what you want to put out into the world. Mm-hmm. And she helps you to integrate it, to roll it out, and ultimately holds your hand throughout the process. And so we talk about that. We talk about how she started her business, what kind of services she offers, but also how she got into it, what her goals and her dreams are, and obviously Chris Evans. We thirst
pretty hard. Talked about our love of Will Smith and
forever and ever.
Forever. It's such a fun conversation. She's such a delight. So
yes.
We really hope that you guys enjoy this interview with Janae.
Okay, let's talk about Will Smith.
Oh my God, yes. How much time do we have?
I mean, as long as you want,
yeah,
to be honest.
Yeah, how much time do you need?
This is not a game or a joke to me, okay? I have loved that man since I was a toddler. Like, I'm pretty sure my mom showed me a picture of me, like, kissing the TV screen. And, like, there's me, like, I'm, like, at the TV screen. And then there's another photo I remember seeing of me, like, in my super 90s, like, you know, those clothes, all the clothes in the 90s just looked like Trix yogurt cups.
Oh, yeah.
I'm like, you know, so I'm like in my Trix yogurt, my unofficial Trix yogurt, like color palette, like overalls. And in the background, there's an episode of Fresh Prince on the TV. And I could probably tell you exactly what episode it is to this day. So When I say that I'm a huge fan, it is not a joke. It's been a 30-year plus, like, love affair of that man. I was very convinced that we were going to be married, and, you know, I was like, Jada, who? Like, I did not care. Literally, just Toni Braxton unbreak my heart when they got married. I had a full, like, no, it can't be. It can't be.
Yeah. True. I feel like we all have a celebrity crush like that we just like become so, we have the love affair.
Yeah.
And then
it happens.
We're heartbroken when, yeah.
He's like a cool, I have a new like, one every week. 20 something years older than me. And let's not talk about his like astrology chart, because why is it the same as my father's?
No, let's talk about that. No. Break it down for me. Hit me with that big three.
Yes. Yes.
Hit me with those big three.
No, I don't even want to launch into it because I'm scared. My best friend is like, we're just going to skip the psychology of that. But my father and Will literally have the same birthday. September 25th is their birth date. My dad is 1962 and Will is 1968.
Oh. What is that? What sign is that?
They're Libras.
Libras. Mm.
Love a Libra. Love a Libra. Okay. Here's the thing, Jeanette. You are on the right show because have I done a chart compatibility between myself and Charlie Puth? I have. Yes, I have. did we have our friend Chanel on the show who then did a chart compatibility between Julia and Mr. Chris Evans? Yes. Yes, she did. So you are in the right place to talk about this, if you so desire.
Christopher Jamal Evans. Like, honestly. No, I don't blame you one bit. Not one bit.
We gotta know. We gotta know. Have I watched TikToks about, there was somebody who was explaining how his astrology chart is just a hot mess. Like, him by himself. They were like, ooh, yes.
Which this one? Is,
Chris?
Chris Evans. Oh. Yeah. They were like, this is kind of a disaster, so it explains a lot.
Can but,
like,
we talk
he's a,
about
he's a chaos? Puppy dog of a disaster.
Of yeah. course.
Can we talk about the fact that he has a Taurus symbol tattooed on his body for his mom? That's his mom sign.
Oh, baby angel.
I don't know what's happening anymore, but this is where we've come to. Janae, what's your sign?
Utter chaos. I'm a Capricorn.
She's a fellow okay. Capricorn.
Mm-hmm. All right. I'm scared of the two of you together. It's official. It's official.
You're Capricorn. Yeah, I'm January. I'm January 5th, so I'm like hardcore Capricorn.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
January 4th. We're right, buddy, buddy. Okay, so we launched right into, we're getting right into the slumber party goss. Janae, welcome to the Peony. Thank you so much for being here.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having
me. I'm loving this energy.
Same. Same.
Listeners, Janae is the founder of Sequoia Entertainment, which helps creatives basically tap into the business side of what they're doing. And okay, I have so many questions. Like, is Will Smith the reason you got into entertainment? What inspired you to create Sequoia Entertainment? Just give it to us. Give it to us. All the gas.
Oh, okay. So, I have a background as an entertainer. It's in my blood. My parents met because my dad was in a band with his buddies, middle school buddies, that kept going into high school, and they had auditions for lead vocalists, and that my mom showed up to audition. I think they knew, they had like mutual friends between their high school, and that's how my mom found out about it. I'm not clear on how my mom got wind of the audition, but my mom auditioned and at what was eventually going to be my grandmother's house, and like that's literally how my parents met. So I have music and entertainment in my blood, and my mom went on to be a background singer for most of my young life. Like, my earliest memories are backstage places like Jay Leno show and like all kinds of stuff, because my mom sang background for a lot of prominent folks in the 90s.
Drop names, girl.
Yeah. Okay. So I don't know if people know, but I mean, it was the 90s. Like Tracy Spencer, who had like a few like number one hits back in the day, and Shantae Moore. And my mom was a Raylette for a while. She sang with Ray Charles. And so like, she was my mom. Vanetta is the big. She's the real deal. She's the real deal. And she's just this, like, God. And she's just this, like, sweet angel baby of a woman. Like, you would never know that, like, she was queen in the 90s. Still queen, but you know what I mean. Wow. My father is a bassist, and he also worked with a lot of, I guess, like, more famous people, but he got into that because he was also a cop when I was growing up. And when he was growing up, like, all of his life and most of mine, my father was an officer of the law. And that got him a lot of bodyguarding gigs. So dad worked for, like, Mariah Carey and Johnny Depp, and he was on and he was on the Dangerous World Tour with Michael Jackson back in the day, and, like, we got to meet Michael, and, you know, like, so I have always been surrounded by entertainment in some way, shape, or form. My mom and dad still sing together to this day. They actually just released a Christmas song. Like, we still very much do that. Yeah, this is my life. Like, this is my family.
So I need to know, what is the Christmas song? Can you plug it real quick? Because I need to stream it ASAP.
I'm pretty sure it's really brand new. It's called Funky Jingle Bells. Yeah. Ooh. So that's gonna be. I don't know if they've dropped it on Spotify just yet, but I know it's coming.
Okay.
Their most recent drop on Spotify is called "Think of Me as Your Soldier." It's a Stevie Wonder cover, and it's beautiful. I'm very proud of my folks. So yeah, saying all that to say, I've always been in that world in one shape or form or another, music, acting, all that jazz. I went to school. I went to college for theater. Eventually, I got there. Eventually, I was like, F all of this. I'm going to be a theater major. I'm going to be a star. So I did theater for a really long time. I think my first theater show I ever did was in, like, 2007. Kind of a late bloomer, but I got in there. After school, I toured. I worked with a lot of children's theaters. I taught theater to kids for a long time. And so that's kind of, like, my background with entertainment. The social media and branding side came a lot later. I just was really interested in social media. I had my, of course, you know, like, people on, you know, you have Instagram, you farting around on the internet, and it's fun. But I figured, like, hey, this is actually a really good tool. If you know how to use social media and, you know, just your online presence correctly, it can really catapult you and, like, to that next level. So I went door to door. I'm from a town called San Dimas. And their little downtown area is just very full of, like, antique shops and businesses and, like, really mom and pop restaurants. Very Mayberry, very, like, can I borrow a cup of sugar? Like, very much. So I just went door to door to all of the businesses in downtown, was like, hey, like, are you on Instagram? Do you need help with that? And one restaurant took me up on it, Cafe Las Pupusas, which is still there. And so for a while I was running, their food and their margaritas are delicious. So I was running their Facebook account and, you know, their social media for a while there. And I was like, hey, I really like this. So I always tried to incorporate that into whatever I was doing. But I nannied for a while. I did a whole bunch of kind of, like, you know, odd jobs, as one does as you're trying to make it. Mm-hmm. And then, mm-hmm. right, yes. And then the pandemic. when the pandemic hit and started to get, you know, eyebrow raising, like, oh shit, this is a real thing. I had just lost my grandfather. My grandfather passed away literally just before everything got crazy. That January, he left us. But he left my sister and I some money behind. And we had no idea that he had been saving stuff for us. Like, he was just a very, like, he wasn't a stoic. When I was growing up, he was kind of stoic, like, really, like, hey, girl, you know? I'd be like, hey, Papa, you up, you know? He was like, good, cool, love you, bye. Like, he was just very, like, to the point kind of a dude. But, you know, so it just, point being, like, I had a great relationship with my grandfather. It was awesome. But it just took me by surprise, you know. And so I was able to take a part of those funds, save part of it, and then use the rest of it to start my business. And I started the business initially because I realized, like, I just saw panic, right? Of course, absolute chaos and pandemonium, but specifically within the creators community and the artistic community, our entire world collapsed, and it did not look like it was coming back. Everybody, you know, lost their jobs. They lost their dreams. I felt so bad. I had friends who were just making their Broadway debut, and then, poof, lights out. And it's like, how do you come back from that? What do you have? And I mean this in the most loving way. Don't cancel me. Ooh. But I felt for quite some time, especially with theater, that because it's such a tight-knit community and you have to give 1,000% every single day, that you can make it your entire world and you can make it your entire personality. So what happens when all that, when the culmination of all these years and all this time and all this personality building and world building comes crashing down and you have nothing? So I was like, okay, there has to be a better way. You have to be able to market yourself. You have to be able to have something else just in case your world falls down. And that's true anyway. That's true in any market. Yeah. But specifically with actors and with creators, I was like, all right, what are you doing online? Because basically, if you're not online, where the fuck you at? You're not on Instagram, where the fuck you at? It's like I'm being silly, but it's true, right? And I think that because as artists and creators, we're so passionate, we forget that it's called show business. And we don't lean enough into the business side of it. And so we're not thinking about having longevity. We're not thinking about legacy and the fact of like monetary success. We're not thinking about it with the lens of like, maybe I can create a digital product that I could sell. Like, we're not thinking about income while we sleep. We're thinking about hustling and waitressing and doing whatever it takes to make the audition, not even to book the show, whatever it takes to just make it to the audition. And I get that. That's absolutely correct. But how else are you going to do that? But like I said, I felt like there just had to be a better way. And so it was initially why I started Saquon Entertainment, because I was like, listen, there's influencer marketing. There's all kinds of stuff that you can be doing just off of like, this is the best freaking water I've ever had in my life. I'm going to tag the water company and I'm going to tag them every day until I'm going to put my email in my bio. And like, that's literally how these people get started at just cranking out money on Instagram while they sleep and while they audition and while they lay foundation for other things. So that's why I started the company. And then I realized I could do this for other people as well. I just started asking businesses. I kind of went back to my roots, door to door, except online. I did a lot of market research. I did a lot of, I became a fan. I became a patron of a lot of places, more so than before, especially I'm a local yokel anyway. I will ride for my local shops and restaurants. And so I just made myself available. I was just like, hey, you know me as the girl that loves this kind of beer, but like, did you know that I also do X, Y, and Z? And then it just kind of took off from there. You know, of course, you start with people that you know. So my first big client is actually one of my oldest friends, Jared Grant. He is a therapist, a doctor, Dr. Grant. Excuse me, Jared, Dr. Grant.
Shout out Dr. Grant.
Yes. Shout out Dr. Grant and mental shifts. He has a practice in Las Vegas. And he has such a gigantic heart. His heart is as big as he is tall. He's a giant man. I love you, Jared.
Tell us more about Dr. Grant for the audience. It's like, I don't know. Is he single? Who's he into? What's going on? Well, for the audience.
He is very much gay and he's very much married, very newly married.
So congratulations, Dr. Grant.
Sorry, you all. Otherwise, I would hook you up. He is just a beautiful, beautiful man and he's so handsome and sweet. But Austin beat you all to it and they're a beautiful couple. They just got married a couple weeks ago. I was in the bridal party or the wedding party. So it was really fun. Saying all that to say, Jared was my first big client. He and his clinicians, at the time he had about 5 other therapists working with him and working with their patients. And we just put our heads together, brainstorm content ideas, and we wanted it to be authentic to what they do. You know, therapists can't just be out here being, welcome to my channel. You know, like, there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of things that go behind being a doctor. And, you know, you can't be like, you can't risk going to Trader Joe's and having someone flying at you like, oh, you know. There's a lot of confidentiality and all those things that go into being a doctor. So things that I had known nothing about. So we put our heads together. We came up with a content plan. We came up with some strategy. And now they've just hit, I think, like, they're just under 12,000 followers on Instagram. Organically, authentically, no giveaways, no buying followers, nothing. And so when that really started popping off, I was like, wow, okay, I can absolutely do this. And I can do it for a variety of markets. And that is just kind of how, like, Saquon, like, ramped up. And now that's where we are now. So, yeah.
That's amazing. Okay, so not to, like, I don't mean to give away any of your services for free anything, but if you have, if you could give, like, one piece of advice to someone who is wanting to get into this content creation world and they feel a little stuck, whether it's they feel like they don't have ideas, they feel like they can't create something that's aesthetically perfect, whatever the case may be, like, what's the first thing that you would recommend people focus on when it comes to creating content?
Don't reinvent the wheel, right? Don't reinvent the wheel. I think a lot of people put pressure on themselves, like, oh my God, it's Wednesday at 3, what am I going to post? If you have, say, this podcast, it's really smart that you're recording it, you have visual and you have the audio, right? You can make so much content off of just a piece of this video and a piece of this audio. You can turn it into a TikTok, you can turn it into a YouTube video, you could turn it into a reel. Take one piece of content and chop that bitch up and make 8.
And do you feel like people need to diversify what they put on each platform? Like,
absolutely.
Because I see, so like what you're putting on TikTok, you shouldn't be just reposting on Instagram, correct?
There are ways to make your content malleable to every platform. And if you want to know, if you want to know how, you can book me. But there is a way.
There it is.
There's a way. So, you know, you take your content and that you chop it up and then you make it malleable to the multiple platforms that you're on, the applicable platforms, you know, because people who are on Facebook are not probably not going to care about what's on TikTok and vice versa. And if people even are on Facebook anymore, you know, like, but there is a way, and it's very niche specific, and there's just a lot that goes into it. But generally, I ask people when I work with people, I onboard people. I ask them what their goals are. Where do you, you know, it's like an interview or like a date. Where do you see yourself in 5 years? You know, like, why are you doing what you're doing? What are your core values? What are your core values? What are your core values? Because people can feel those things through your content. I don't care if you believe me or not. If you're not being genuine and you're not being authentic and you're not grounded in your core, it's going to translate. You're going to lose people very fast, especially if you're not doing the pay for play thing, right? People also don't understand or kind of grasp, I think, is they underestimate the power of you. You are your strongest asset, not some design app, not some whatever, not your follower account, you. All right. So if you don't know who you are, why are we going to care? And you have to use you to sell that. Does that make sense?
It does.
Totally. Yeah. The audience is way smarter than a lot of people give them credit for. Like, people can pick up that, like, when you're not being genuine, people can pick that up and call you out so fast. And I kind of love that. I'm very into that.
Accountability for reals. For reals. Yeah. So it's like, in a world where anybody can make a narrative, anybody can make up a narrative about you and not be your legacy, you don't let them do that. Do it for them. Do it for them and do it in a way that's real and actually representative of who you are and what you want to contribute. You need to add value.
Yes. Yeah, that's so important. Yeah. I've heard different advice in terms of some people say pick one platform, drill down, go deep, do everything on that platform. I've heard other people say be everywhere, put everything on everywhere. There's a finite amount of time in the day, especially when people have, you know, other things, right? Maybe families, maybe day jobs, whatever the case may be. So where do you stand on that?
I really think it depends on what you're trying to accomplish. If you're selling t-shirts, be everywhere. Get as many folks as possible to rock your shit, even if they're not directly talking about your shit. Product placement. Like, there's a reason you see that Sprite can gingerly placed in the corner in the back to the left of the screen when you're watching that Netflix show or whatever. You know, like, everything has a reason and a place. So you just have to, you know, plug your sauce and your thing into that formula and make it work for you, right? I think you should be everywhere. If not only for the education of it all, because there are so many platforms now and your audience is everywhere. You don't want to miss any opportunity to add value and reach people without overwhelming yourself and burning yourself out, of course, which is why another thing is why I always get people down to the core of things is because, like, you cannot lie to yourself. You can lie to me. You can lie to somebody else, but you can't lie to yourself. So don't bullshit yourself about how available you actually are. And, you know, about your time. Be very diligent about your schedule and about your time and do what makes sense. Don't spend 18 hours of the day creating content. Yeah. Don't do it. Like, literally don't do it. It's like going to the gym. You know, if you can go to the gym and you can be in there for 3.5 hours and not lose a pound. You can be in the gym for 35 minutes doing something intentional and intense that makes sense for your body mass. And drop like that. Do what makes sense.
Yeah, I find that with me when the inspiration strikes, I drop everything and I just like have a chunk of time where I'm creating. And there could be different outfit changes, whatever the case may be. That's my time to create. I feel inspired. I drop everything. I do it. And then what comes out of that are weeks worth of content that I can then parse out over time. So yeah, I agree with you. It's finding what works for you. And I feel like there's so much pressure to look a certain way or have it be just so or have it be perfect or don't use this filter, use this filter, all of those things that I feel like sometimes we forget that it's a social media. Like, it's meant to connect us to each other.
Yep. Yeah. You can't be all about you. That's why I say add value. Yeah. Because if you're creating content for yourself just so you can like stare at yourself and giggle, that's for you. Like, get a journal, get a dog. Like, you have to be like connected to other people. You need to be responsive. That's what that's there for. And it just so happens that that can also make you some money and it can also catapult your business or your brand or whatever. But you just have to play your cards correctly and genuinely.
I'm assuming you're up on like all the trends, all like the freaking voiceover, blah, 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 blah sounds. What has been your favorite thing? And it could be like your personal, what give like tickles you, or it could be like, what is your favorite thing to tell other people? Like, oh, hey, replicate, like use this sound. This will help. Like,
oh, that's a great question. Oh my gosh. Cause there's so many, especially, oh,
I know,
specifically on TikTok. TikTok is is a magical, horrific place.
Catch a vibe.
It's it's the like one social, I've said it so many times, but I feel like it's the one social media platform where even if I spend 4 hours on it, which is few and far between, but like I don't feel like a hot mess afterwards.
Yeah.
Like I don't want to like, I don't beat myself up because most of it's like, it's so curated that in a lot of it, I'm like, this is all like, I've learned something in this time.
I know it's few and far between because you have a backlog of things that I have DM'd you.
I know.
And things I've sent you that you have not looked at that are really fucking funny that I'm going to need you to work through.
Well, then I open it up and I see I have like 500 messages. I'm like, well, that. They're all for me.
All of them.
They're not. I have one. There's one of my friend Victoria has sent me, and she was like, We hung out around Halloween, and she's like, I feel like I should just stop sending you stuff because it's like at least 400 plus messages and I feel bad, but I just want you to see it. And I'm like, no, you've like given me my own very personalized for you page. And I appreciate it. I'm just like waiting to have a day where I'm like, all right, I've got 5 hours with no plans. Let's do this.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
So.
Absolutely.
Okay. So let's go around the room. What are some favorite trends or sounds or songs that we're loving?
Yes.
On any platform.
Oh.
I will say, there's so many, and I can't, of course, this is the one time I can't think of one that I would plug into, a marketing strategy, although there are tons, and I have so many notes on this. But the one that pops in my head that was, kind of more recent is the bark at your dog.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
yeah.
Those take adorable. Me out. They're so good. All the dogs,
yeah.
I also I'm a complete dog dork. Yeah. I will cry when I see Pubbers. So
cute.
Top of my head, that's me one right now that too. I really am enjoying.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah.
I've been loving the transition that's using, I think it's from the Kanye song, that even if you are not ready for the day.
Uh-huh.
It cannot always be night. Like that, some of the transitions, I'm just like, oh my God.
Crazy.
I'm a sucker for transitions.
On
that goddamn app.
There's a video I gotta send y'all that I saw about a teacher who was like, a lot of people may not know that this sound is from activist poet Gwendolyn, her last name.
Oh.
And she was like, they're gonna learn today. And she set up her entire classroom presentation, the lesson of the day. She changed her whole lesson plan and she was like, it's gonna be activist poetry. And
yeah.
We're gonna talk about her. We're gonna talk about other activist poets and go into the history. And I was like, yes. That's, I think, teacher talk has been my favorite part, especially art teacher talk. That's been my favorite. There's one video of this art teacher who's like, today I had all of the students, and I think her students are elementary school students. She's like, I had them all draw album art covers, as if they were drawing CD covers or whatever, which, hello, does anyone remember CDs?
CDs?
In this room we do, but, anyone listening, hello. And then she just literally put them up, she just showed them. And she started calling out, hey, Halsey, here's your new album cover. Hey, Sony, call us. I have, Matthew is your next artist. Teacher
talk
is the shit. Yeah.
And that's how you get sponsored.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. You just keep, putting your name in their DMs. Eventually, all right, who is this? What is happening?
And getting other people to be like, hey, so-and-so, you got to see this. Or oh, my girl did this. It's amazing. Not necessarily blowing up people's DMs, because you can get annoying real fast. But if you can get other people to tag you, or tag them, be like, you have to see this. You got to see this. That's how all the celebrities are seeing these TikToks about them. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a gigantic game of telephone, basically. So,
There's... Because I know that there are a few TikTokers who are now doing collabs with celebrities, and it's simply because the content they were creating, enough of their fans were like, okay, you really need to check this out. You really need to check this out.
What do you say to people who, have you had clients that are like, I'm growing, but I'm not making money yet. When do I start making money? In terms of sponsorships or anything like that?
Of course. Everybody thinks that it's an overnight thing. Overnight success takes years, okay?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I have had conversations with folks, and I'm like, listen, you have to be consistent and you have to be patient. Nobody knows who you are. Nobody knows who you are. And you have to obviously tactfully and gingerly remind people that nobody knows you. You have to make yourself known. It's not going to take a day, a week, a month, And if it does, congrats. But that's not the rule. That's the exception, which is another reason why you have to have other things going on. Occupy yourself with your purpose and then let your purpose do the talking.
I love that.
We had a Brianna on the show, Brianna McDonald. And one of the quotes that I remind myself all the time is, she was like, my brother and I always talk about anytime you see somebody who's an overnight success, there's 10 years of work behind them that got them to that point. Yeah. And when we first started this podcast, I was always like, oh, when are the numbers going to hit? When are the numbers going to hit? And because I would think of My Favorite Murder, for example, which is, they're huge podcasts and they blew up very quickly. But both of them, Georgia Hardstark was on Food Network for years, and Karen Kilgariff is she's a comedian, she's a writer, she's huge in the comedy world. So they already had 10 plus years of experience from their other creative endeavors. So when they flipped to podcasting, it propelled them because they had put in a ton of work elsewhere. Mm-hmm.
And are those like ever maybe that's the thing. Sorry to cut you off, but I feel like that's the other thing is like maybe you're doing something and that may not be the thing that you blow up for.
Right.
Right? Like,
yeah.
We may be on this podcast. We may not blow up on this podcast. We may end up on another social media site that hasn't been invented yet. And boom, you know what I mean? Yeah. So sorry, go on with your question.
No, I was going to ask, like, are those conversations that you often have with clients of like, yes, this is your focus right now, but this may not be the thing. It Absolutely. Might come from somewhere else.
Yes, actually, I say this a lot to people. I tell people that they need their apple pie, and I'm going to explain what that means. So when I personally, when I think about McDonald's, I rarely actually think about the Big Mac and that's their that's their bread and butter, right? Like the Big Mac is their biggest product. That's what they've been pushing since we were all kiddos with the little toys and the things. But I rarely think about the Big Mac when I think about McDonald's. I think about their apple pies or their ice cream machine always being broken. Right?
Yes.
Like, it's the bane of everybody's existence is the ice cream machine being broken every time, yet somehow it's branded in their favor. It's the biggest joke around, yet it's not to their detriment, right?
It's like the VIP line for McDonald's. It's like, when am I going to get it? Am I going to get it? Ooh, exclusive VIP. McFlurry works.
Exactly. So you need... you need an apple pie. You have to have something else going on. Sell a digital product, have a podcast, create content in a variety of ways, which also brings me back to why I said you can't go wrong being on a whole bunch of different platforms, because you can cater to a bunch of different platforms with your apple pies while you're auditioning, while you're doing, you know, your Big Mac. I think that's essential. And I don't think enough people hone in on that and take action on that. But yet, you know, so-and-so is an overnight success. No. So-and-so has a catalog of apple pies and ice cream machines.
Yeah. Well, you look at someone like Tabitha Brown, right? She's been an actor. She studied. She's auditioned for so, so, so long. And what ended up taking off for her was her vegan recipes on TikTok. And now she has her own cookbook. She has her own spices. She's acting on The Chi. Like, she's... everywhere, and she's blowing up, and she's actually getting to do the acting work that she's always wanted to do in this like very roundabout kind of way.
Right.
So what advice do you have for people on like staying so open-hearted, you know? Because I feel like it's very tough to be vulnerable, to continuously put yourself out there and say, okay, this is my goal, this is what I want to do, and continuously like hit walls or hit obstacles. What advice do you have for like staying optimistic or keeping going or even being open to like the new things that come? I know there are a lot of people that are like, TikTok, no way. Yes. Like,
oh my God, that's so many of my prospects.
How do you stay open? Like, what advice do you have for like staying open for whatever's new or whatever is unexpected and not losing hope after hitting obstacles?
So I'm the queen of burnout. I won't even act like I'm not. A lot of the things that I post are because I needed a mirror. And it's
what does that
like,
mean?
I needed something to reflect back upon myself. It's something that I am teaching, I'm preaching to the choir, essentially. I post a lot of like reminders, and a lot of my own like Instagram is a lot of like mindset shifty things, because those are the things that keep me going. I'm a Capricorn. I love working hard, and I will work myself into the ground. I will work myself into like, I'll pop back up
into
China.
Into our graves. Like, yeah. We're just
and
like...
and everybody in my inner circle, especially my sweet, sweet partner, my sweet, sweet Joshua, will be like, did you take a break? Did you eat? And I'm like, But he's not wrong. And that's what makes me furious. But, you know, like... So I guess what I would say is pour back into yourself. And not, and then don't apologize for it, because it's not actually selfish. My trainer, Kat Maizano Vera, amazing. Hey, Kat. She says a lot on her social media and to her clients, you can't pour from an empty cup, right? So yeah. How are you going to inspire other people and add value to other people if you're not doing the same thing for yourself? So my morning routine means everything to me. I have to do these things in the morning because it gets me right. Feet on the floor, inhale, exhale. I have to take my deep breaths just because I fucking woke up like somebody else didn't, probably thousands in that same moment, right? So that's really important to me. I move my body 30, 35 minutes. Again, thank you, Kat. I do what makes sense in that movement of my body. I journal. My gratitude journal is actually in my other room, but I had it on hand somewhere. It's in my drawers, but just so you know, I'm not like talking out of my butt. This is my most recent one. I just filled this bad boy and started a new one. I write down like my top of the head thoughts, whether or not they make sense, just stream of consciousness for a few minutes. I write down my prayers because I am a prayerful person. And then I write down my manifestations and my affirmations in that order. And then I read it all back to myself. I might not always read the stream of consciousness thoughts, but definitely the prayer. I pray them out loud. I read my manifestations out loud and my affirmations out loud. And then I put it away and wash my butt. I get ready for the day, you know?
Yeah.
And even down to like food and like what you ingest, you know, I try to make sure I'm like prepared with like fresh things. I like salads. I'm not a big meat eater. I'm not a meat eater at all, really. Or a dairy consumer. So like, you know, do what makes sense for you. But for me, like I like a lot of fresh fruit, a lot of fresh veggies, whole grains, like things that make me feel yummy after eating them. Of course, I'll trash my body with some Carl's Jr. like the next bro. But like when it comes to like getting, when I know I'm going to have to have a super productive week, I try to set myself up for success, literally from the inside out. And then you'll be amazed how much you can, you know, conjure up in your mind hole when you do those things, because you have clarity. You know, like you have a sense of clarity that you may not have had if you hadn't gotten, you know, adequate sleep, or if you hadn't sweat and moved your body and shown yourself what you're capable of. If you hadn't, like, you know, word vomited onto some pages, like some stuff comes out you wouldn't even know is lying dormant. Like you got to get that shit out, and it could turn into something amazing that could just, you know, it has that avalanche effect. So those things are really important to me, and that's what I would say. Do what makes sense for you, but for me, in that order, that keeps me really open. It keeps me fresh. It keeps me, you know, moving forward.
Yeah. Do you have a wind down at the end of the day?
Typically, with Merlot, yeah.
Nice. Nice and deep red. Delightful.
So yes, I have what I call the 6 to 7 rule. And that's for an hour a day. I do something that's just for me. So it typically ends up being, you know, a glass of wine and Netflix, but sometimes it's reading. Sometimes it's journaling again. Like, this is how I started my day. Here's how I'm finishing my day. Sometimes it's just hopping on a phone call with Josh or with a friend, or it's something that is not work related. It's something that is not, it's just me existing as a human being. And then the other hour that I tack on either before or after that is for me, like with work, because I have a I have a job. Like I still have a full-time job alongside with Sequoia. It's my dream to just be able to work and let, you know, just to live off of my company. But in the meantime, these bills don't care about your dreams. So I have a job, but I have to have space open so that I can cater to my clients and I can be there for them, you know, authentically and genuinely. And so my 6 to 7 rule is really a 6 to 8
rule.
You know, like I come home, I like do my, I breathe, I get my water, throw some food in the oven, like while my dinner cooks, I'm working on Sequoia. I'm trying to either create content or create content for my clients. It's usually the latter. And then I have my hour that's just like, I'm not here. Like, I'm here, but I'm not. Do you need me? Yeah. No, you don't. Netflix needs me or whatever, you know? So it's just like being intentional about that time.
Yeah.
Because if you're spending an hour a day on your craft or on whatever, that's minimum 5 hours a week.
Yeah.
You know, it really adds up. It really adds up.
So what are you Netflixing or reading or, like, what are you loving right now? Netflix or books or...
Okay, so books Merlot's, wise...
if you want to drop a name brand Merlot.
Yes! Oh my gosh, no, listen. Okay, all right, all right, all right. So books wise...
Oh, I'm listening.
I have been, like, taking tiny bites out of Brené Brown's Daring Greatly.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I have to read that book in stride because she continually comes from my neck and it's like
Yep.
It's the most powerful cringe. So it's taking me so long to finish the book. But also it's just because it's good and I don't want it to be done. But yeah, I'm like she consistently, for someone who's never met me, she consistently calls me out. Brené, leave me alone. And then I just got Will's book. I just got his memoir. It came with the ticket. Yeah, it came with the event that I went to, which was awesome with him. Like, okay, let's give away thousands of copies of your book. So I know. Willard. I can't wait to dive into that. Netflix wise, the holidays are approaching, and so I've completely, like, Pocahontas swan dived back into like all the baking competition shows.
Hell yeah.
Oh yes. Oh my god.
The holiday baking shows are everything right now.
Yes. Do you watch Nicole Byers Nailed It?
Yes, yes, yes. I want to be on the show.
You heard it here first. Nicole, you listening? Call us.
Okay, I think it was the last season. There was a season where she wore this stunning green, like, sparkly dress. I found it online. Did I buy it for myself? Yes. Does it? It is glorious. I don't know where I'm gonna wear it, but gosh, I'm gonna
right
wear
now.
Shit out of
you're
this,
gonna yeah. you're gonna yeah. take five
right now.
You're going to take five and you're going to put the dress on.
Yeah, I need 5 minutes. Let me go put this on.
Yes.
Yeah, but that show, it's so funny. It's so wonderful.
I love it. I think it just, you know, not all of us are baking stars, okay? And I think it's great to celebrate that. But yeah, I would love to do that. I would love to do that. I'm not bad in the kitchen. I can't design things like that, but I can make a little something delicious. How about a co-host? Nicole.
There it is.
Or a judge. I'll co-host with you, Nicole.
Yes.
But yeah.
You'll co-host with Nicole. We'll get Will to be a guest judge on an episode or two.
No, Willard. Because I will cry. I wouldn't be able to work.
Okay, listen. This is what you can do. This is what helps me. Because honestly, when you dropped Brené Brown's name, I was like, okay. Daring Greatly, what I do sometimes that I don't know how it works or why it works, but what I'll do sometimes is I will take the book and I will hold it and I will just think in my mind, like, if I need guidance or something, I'll just, like, think of my question or think about the answer that I need, like, what do I need guidance for? And then I'll randomly open the book to a page and read the first section that my eyes land on. And somehow... It always resonates. Brené might be a wizard. She might be an immortal soul wizard.
Yeah. Alexa, play soul My Immortal.
Exactly. Thank you. Also, amazing throwback.
Thank you so much. I love them.
Oh, God. Magic. Her cover of Heart-Shaped Box by Nirvana, like, I weep. It's beautiful.
The chills. She's otherworldly, honestly.
Yes.
Like, completely out of this world. But yeah, those are my Netflixy thingies is the baking shows right now. I also just watched Passing on Netflix with Emma Thompson and Ruth Negga. Oh my gosh.
I haven't seen it, but I read the book. And the book stabbed me in the heart.
I'm sure because
it's so well written. Yeah, no,
I have to watch. I'm gonna have to watch it again because it's very, very layered. But that movie, I was like, ooh, ooh, and I knew it too. Like, my butt cheeks were all clenched up the whole, like, the first 5 minutes because I was like, where is this going? What's going on? But just on, like, a base, like, level, just the, you know, the issues of colorism and classism. And I mean this in the most, like, genuine, like, nicest way. But I like the fact that this was a story about Black people that did not somehow find a way to center whiteness in a way that most movies with and for Black people tend to do, if that makes sense. While it was a movie about Black people being able to pass for white people, and there are white people in the movie who got fooled by it, somehow it didn't like circle back to the husband. It didn't center him. You know, they fell to the wayside in a way that was respectful, and that proved the point. And I was so happy to see that, because it's not about you. Like the self-loathing and the generational curses and the just stuff that Black people have in our own community need to be seen and need to be picked apart in that respect so that we can heal from it. And it's hard to do that when it isn't actually genuinely about us. So I really appreciated that about that film. And, you know, y'all listening and, you know, whomever, if you haven't seen it or read the book, I highly recommend it. It's not for the faint of heart. It's a meaty one, but it is very, very important, I feel. It's an important conversation that needs to be had.
Yeah.
Also, it was deliciously queer. I could have used a little more queerness, but it was there and I was like, yes.
What a cast, too. So much talent. I'm surprised that Netflix just didn't completely combust, as an entire enterprise.
Honestly, between Passing and The Harder They Fall, how is the platform still on? That movie.
I am so obsessed with that movie, and that the entire the fact that we had Concrete Cowboy, now we have The Harder They Black Cowboys, I am combusting. I am combusting.
Hot fire.
Especially, I think Idris is in both of those movies.
He is, yes.
I'm gonna need to take a break. We're gonna need to wrap it up.
You're gonna be okay. Here, let's just dab some water behind.
Deep
her.
Breaths.
Let's
deep
cool
breaths.
Down. Deep yeah. Breaths. Let's center.
Cool yourself
let's
down.
Let's
cool
center.
Yourself
down. Feet on the ground. Feet on the ground. It's all right.
Not to throw another curveball at you, but Luther is coming back. Speaking of Idris Elba. So, yeah. I saw his post on Instagram and I was like, oh!
She threw her neck back. That was real.
Lost,
that was
Julia.
Very visceral and deep. I'm really happy.
I know we're an audio platform, but I am speechless. I am literally just picturing everything that I've ever seen Idris in my mind right now, and just that sultry gaze, and that
I'm
going through
Wildest Dreams playing in the background, see me in hindsight,
and now wind sweat, and now I'm just going through his men's health spread, his GQ spread, the perfectly tailored white shirt with the top buttons undone and the undone tie, and I'm gonna need to take a minute here. Something is I think I'm going through puberty all over again.
Go through it. That effect on people.
Go through it. Ride it straight to hell.
My body.
I don't know what song you're singing. I'm so sorry.
Oh, I'm a horrible singer. I'm totally off key, but that was Genuine Pony. Yeah. You're welcome.
Got it. I'm with you.
Oh my god. That was such a journey. I'm so blessed.
Whew. That was a vision quest. And I'm not even on drugs right now.
Not in this moment.
The
not
only drug I need is later. Idris.
Idris. You hear in that? Slow you hear motion. That friend? Tangled up with you all night.
Oh god. He's one that when he got locked down, a lot of hearts. You can hear the hearts shattering.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah. The shadow heard.
Good for him,
world.
Though.
He's good not. Him, though. He's not my particular cup of cocoa, but I can understand it. I can understand.
Hit me. He's very primal, is what it is. Hit me with your cup of cocoa? Hit me with like your my, top
like,
three.
Like specifically a black man or like just anyone?
Just anyone that's like your type celebrity.
Top Ooh, three. Okay. Okay. Yeah.
More if you want.
Oh.
Who, like if I like, who's my like my pass list with Joshua? Like if I saw this person.
Yeah.
Like,
yes. Oh Joshua. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. We're doing this.
Ooh, 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 who is just, like, Yumtown USA for me? Obviously, Chris Evans. Christopher Jamal could get it. He could get it, and he could keep it. You know?
Sorry, Joshua.
Like, I love you, Josh. Yes. Joshua is my heart. He's my world. That's my partner. But I'm sure yeah. He would understand. Chris Evans
Yeah, like,
get
Chris
it.
Evans.
He could keep it on layaway.
Yeah, Chris Evans just, like, walking down the street in that small town in his cable-knit sweater with his dog next to him. Yeah.
What am I supposed to do with that? Like, honestly, yeah. What am I supposed you to just, do with that?
You just do a death drop Follow on the sidewalk. Heart. Okay, we had different reactions. That's okay. They're both valuable.
Both are leading with like an impulse reaction, right? So I feel like if you're doing a death drop, it has to come from the heart or else you're not surviving.
You're off your job.
I just did
you're
an
done.
Honorary one. Okay. Oh anyone God. Else on your past list?
Now, I'm like, oh my God, now my head, like, I'm going completely blank. And I know there are so many.
Willard, obviously.
You know what, though?
Mm.
No.
Mm.
No. Not anymore.
Oh.
I think oh. I've matured. It's my okay. my love affair with Will uh-huh. started with me being three and like I'm gonna marry him, and then it That's morphed fair. Into like an artistic awe. You know, like mm-hmm. when I was really diving mm-hmm. into that theater and acting and like studying the craft, I was just like he was like the blueprint. Because is there mm-hmm. a bigger star than Will Smith? You know, and his impact and what he does with his role, Pursuit of Happiness, like. Come on, you know, like when he really dug his heels in and branched away from comedy, when people actually let him do that, he, yeah. that man is amazing. So it He's turned so into like just a complete, like, you are the blueprint. Like, we are not worthy of that. And now seeing him as like a grown, you know, a grown man with grown yeah. kids and just like now he's in his like, he's in his healing era. Like, he's, like, yeah. learned and healed from his past, and now he's opening that up to people. Now, and I kind of am like, oh, I'm not quite there. You know, I'm, you know, just cracked my 30s a couple years ago, and so, like, I'm still learning and digging and finding out stuff about myself and, you know, coming to terms with the good, the bad, the ugly. And so I now... Where with my in relation to Will Smith, I look forward to where to being in my own life where he is now, where when I can yeah. write a memoir and where I can sew back into people and let them know about, you know, the importance of forgiveness and like and moving forward and all that stuff, you know. So I'm now in a way I've reversed into the toddler like looking up at the screen, but just in a different way.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So mm-hmm. I don't and want to bang him.
I well, want and now to he has him. His new like, movie you know? Coming out.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
The we saw William the Sisters movie. I'm obsessed with the William Sisters. Like I cannot handle that amount of power and magic in not only one woman yeah. but two.
It's it's absolutely ridiculous.
I worship at the altar of the Williams sisters, 100%.
And so you should. But yeah. Oh, so no, Willard is no longer on my, like, I would marry you list. Now I'm just like, bro, hire me. I've applied to Westbrook twice. Like, let's do this.
We're going to manifest that for you, 100%.
Yeah. Will.
Put it on the list.
I know Will is listening to this.
Absolutely.
Well, call us.
I would die.
Well, be not afraid. I promise I won't fangirl like crazy. I just want to work with you. Gosh, who else? Now, this is so insane. I like, I know I have a solid list of just like hotties, and I can't think of not a one of them other than Christopher Jamal. Wow. How embarrassing.
There's so many out there.
There are a lot of them out there. I don't know.
Yeah.
I only have eyes for Joshua.
Aww. That's super cute.
And followed That's by an evil cute. Like titter. No, I love my mans. I do. I really do.
Aww.
But yeah. I'm sure he That's you know, really I know romantic. I know he has a I've been trying to pull his list out of him and he won't tell me. And it's probably Ooh. Good. But I know, and I'm like, I know. And I sort of told him too. I was like, let's not pretend that other people aren't attractive. It doesn't mean we're going to, like, right. you know, do anything yeah. about it. It's just, you're a human being. Like, you're a human functioning person. People are hot. Yeah. Like, I get it. Yeah. I get it.
What if instead of Megan list. Fox, it's like Julia Child? I mean, I know she's dead, but what if it's like...
That's the man. He does appreciate a good meal.
There you go. Sorry, Joshua. Didn't mean to call you out like that on air.
Telling all of his secrets. He's like, no. I don't know. We talk about Dua Lipa a lot. I think we both, like, low-key have the hots for Dua Lipa.
She's
yeah, stunning. She's, we talked about her yeah. today. She's stunning. Yeah. But he won't ever be like, oh, yeah, she's hot. Like, ugh. Like, he doesn't, like, bro talk with me. He's yeah. just like, yeah, she's awesome.
Yeah.
Aww. And I'm like,
he sounds like an amazing yeah. person.
I'm like, she's awesome. Yeah. I don't know. He's like, yeah, no, her tiny desk was cool. I'm like, no, come on. Like,
just tell me.
He won't do it. But anyways, meanwhile, I'm like, like, I'm vulgar.
Same.
Life is about balance, you know?
Exactly.
Well, Janae, we do something here where we like to wrap up the show with a reco of the week, meaning if you have something that is absolutely giving you life that you feel you need to share with other people to maybe brighten up their week, we would love for you to share that with us. So do you happen to have a reco of the week for us, for our audience?
Ooh. Yeah. Of course it's about Will Smith.
Hell yeah, it is.
Hell yeah.
Of course it is. Of course it is. So Will is on a book tour right now, and a dear friend of mine surprised the hell out of me and sent me money toward a ticket to see his LA leg of the tour, as well as the book. So I was like, oh, they gave us a copy. I'm so sorry. Keep that one. but I went, and somehow I made it out only crying twice. But why I say that that's my reco of the week is because of just the thing. He was dropping so many gems that night, and he was just really sewing into us as audience members and giving us a peek into his life. And, you know, all of us, I'm sure most of us, when we think of Will Smith, we think of, like, goofy, like, you know, but this was just a real genuine, like, this was a dude who'd been through some stuff, a father, a husband twice, like, he was just really just talking to us and crying with us. And, like, it was so beautiful and enriching and I think surprising. But it was so nice to hear him tell the stories of, like, how things came to be. Like, he told us the story of pretty much how the Fresh Prince came to be. And it was so weird and, like, hilarious. But he basically, you know, at that point he had a Grammy and then had made a ton of money as a real young dude and lost all of it. And he was just kind of like very close to being the laughing stock of the entertainment industry when he gets a call out of nowhere, like Quincy Jones, like, invites him to his house for his birthday party. So he's like, okay, I'm not going to say no to Quincy Jones. So he goes to Quincy's party, and Quincy's like, I can't tell it like Will does, but, you know, he was saying how drunk Quincy Jones was, and was just like, you know, Quincy Jones, bitch.
Hell yeah.
But long story longer, he said, all right, cool, here's the script. Anybody who would need to say yes to this project is here. He went to his audition and didn't know it. And he freaked out. And then he said, like, Quincy pulled him aside into a different room. And Will was like, I can't audition right now. I mean, we're at a party. Like, I'm not prepared. And Will was not an actor. Like, he did not train to be that at all. He was a rapper. And Quincy was like, all right, cool. How much time do you need? And he said, like, oh, a couple days. You know, and he's like, all right, cool. I'll give you a couple of days. And a couple of days, you know, James Lasseter, who's out there, will probably be on a plane somewhere. And, you know, we'll have to reschedule for, like, you know, maybe a couple months. And he's like, cool, I could do a couple months. I could train. Like, da, da, da. And the point that Quincy Jones was making was, like, cool, we can have that time. You can take that chance that people will still be available. But everybody who needs to say yes is here now. And that gave me a lot of joy and inspiration, because it was like, how many times do we do that to ourselves? Mm-hmm. Everything we need to be successful is here now. Everybody who needs to say yes is here now. But you don't believe in yourself enough. You don't have the confidence enough to just take the opportunity and say, you know what? Fuck it. And because he heard Quincy and was like, okay, I hear you. Fuck it. Let's do it. Give me 10 minutes. We have Fresh Prince of Bel-Air. And so what is that for you? You know, like, what is that for you? You know, and so it made me think about in the past what it's been for me and open my eyes, I think, a little bit more to what it could be in the future. So I feel like if I find myself in those types of positions again, don't reschedule. Don't bullshit yourself. Mm-hmm. Say, fuck it, dude. Like, go for that shit because it may never present itself again, or at least not in the same way. I genuinely believe that whatever's for you is yours and it's coming at you fast. So if you do push it out, fine, push it out, but know that it may never present itself in that same way again. And literal magic was made that night for Will. So go be magical, dude. Like, magical. Be magical and accept magic.
Yes. Wise words. I have full body goosebumps. I want that
painted on every wall of my room. Like, be magic and accept magic. That's beautiful. Oh my God, that's beautiful.
Thank you. That is why I wanted to talk about that, because it really resonated with me. It stuck with me and it just made me admire him more. So yeah, that's my reco, y'all. Be magic. Be magic and accept magic.
I love that. Thank you so much. Janae, let the people know, where can they find you? Where can they follow you? Where can they book you?
Yes, absolutely. I'm Janae of Sequoia Entertainment. Like Je ne sais quoi, the play on words. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You can find me online, www.sequoiaentertainment.com. The Sequoia is SAYQUOI, entertainment.com. You can find my personal Instagram at Janae_Sequoia, or my professional business Instagram, which is just Sequoia Entertainment. Hit me up. Let me know what you need. I would love to know how Sequoia can add value to your brand, to your business. And as mentioned before, I do social media management. I do branding, brand consultations. And I also have the newest branch of my company I'm really proud of, called the Sequoia Writers Room, where if you're working on a script or a project or something and you need that third eye on it, I did study creative writing in college. That was my world. And I'm actually working on a book right now. So that is, you know, a safe space for creators. If it does turn into a bit of a more collaborative project, you know, I have packages for that. I have rates for certain things, but more than anything, it's a space to be creative and be free. And so I'm really excited about the writer's room, and that's where you can find me. So hit me up. I'm more than happy to take a look at your brand, take a look at your pages, and make sure that you have optimal success. Your little tendrils out into the world. I love that. I want to be a part of that.
To be magic and receive magic.
To be magic and receive magic.
I love that so much. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you all. What fun.
we're gonna take it to the group chat.
Recos of the week.
Lex.
Julia.
What is your recomendación de semana? Well, we're multilingual here on the peony.
Whoa. What you just said. My recommendation of the week, is a podcast called Violent Femme. They just like randomly followed me on Instagram, which I will say, look, if you guys have a podcast and you want me to listen to it, just randomly follow me on Instagram. That's what happened with another fucking horror podcast and now Violent Femme, and I'm obsessed with both. So it works on me. So Violent Femme is a history podcast about women in history who were maybe a little murderous, but in like these really just dope ass ways. The first episode is about Tomris, who was responsible for killing King Cyrus, who's like the leader of the Persians and just had this vast empire. And the story, whoo, it huh, like it pumped me up. I was like, oh, oh my God. And like there was tragedy in her life. What a fucking badass. So I think I'm on episode 4 now, but it's so good. If you need a podcast that just amps you up and also gives you some chills because you're like, wow, these women were fucking intense. The second episode was it the Pirate Queen that you covered in our women's history?
Oh, yeah. Yep. Madam Cheng Shi?
I think so.
Mm-hmm. She's a fucking badass. Oh my God.
Yeah, obsessed Pirate Cheng Shi. She's the second episode. And the way that the host does it is she not like she'll talk about like the history as well, but then she's created dialogue of like for these characters and she narrates the dialogue. So you get this sense of like who these people were. And, you know, it's all it's fictionalized, those dialogue moments. But it's so badass the way that she does it.
Does she do voices?
She does do voices. She does like some accent work. It's amazing. So fun. The production on it is awesome. It's fantastic. And they're nice short little episodes. I think they're like anywhere from 30 to 45 minutes. So yesterday when I was getting ready for work, I was listening to it while I was doing my makeup. And let me just say, it amped me up. I was like, yes, hell yeah. Let's get this perfect cat eye going as we are listening to a story about a pirate queen and how fucking intense she was. So Violent Femme, it's on Apple Podcasts for sure. I believe it's on like Spotify and all other podcast apps. But Violent Femme. Amazing. Oh, so good.
I love it. Okay, I'm going to have to definitely check it out.
Do it.
Very into it.
What is your reco of the week?
So my reco of the week is, it's not our merch line. because that would be like totally self-indulgent.
Yeah, that would be
so
weird.
It's not like we dropped like super soft and eco-friendly, beautifully flattering embroidered t-shirts. It's not like we dropped like the coziest, softest, most like year-round delightful bomber jacket or like a dope-ass denim patchwork bucket hat, like all of those things,
or like
are
a
true
cute little notebook if you're into journaling or sketching.
Yes, that's dotted. It's not lined.
Yes.
So if you're into some bullet journaling, that's your jam.
There you go.
Fanny pack. Like, that's not my reco of the week, but those things do exist. And if someone is interested, mayhaps, in purchasing, they can go to thepeonypodcast.com/merch or, thepeonypodcast.com/merch. Once again, that is thepeonypodcast.com/merch.
Merch. I've gotten so many like DMs about the bucket hat.
People love the bucket hat.
People love the bucket hat. So excellent work there, my friend, because lot of people were like, I'm getting that.
And we
like,
had
oh shit, okay.
And we had such a fun photo shoot for it, and it came out very like Sofia Coppola, like Virgin Suicides vibe, like very 90s. The filters, the nature, the classroom. Yes.
Shout out to Bobby for helping us with all of that.
Bobby.
Gem.
I know. I'm like, once we get enough money to actually like hire people and pay them, we need to just bring on Bobby. And I know that she has this very rewarding and fulfilling career as a teacher. But
what if?
No.
She could teach us about 12th grade English. I don't know. It's been a while. I could use
it. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what she does or what she's good at. We're just going to poach her and figure something out. Her role will just be Bobby. Resident Bobby. We can never hire another Bobby ever again.
Or if we do, they have to change their name. Sorry. Those are the rules.
Yeah. You have to go by Bob or Bobbert or Boberta.
Boberta.
Boberta, which may be what I name my firstborn. We don't know. Aww. We'll see. So my Recco of the week is, mm-hmm. it is our merch line, but also it's, you know, also I was telling you offline or off air that I had Cracker Jacks for the mm-hmm. first time in like 20 years because I grew up in New York City. I remember going to Coney Island on the weekends, getting some boxes of Cracker Jacks, seeing the mm-hmm. Cyclones. Like it was a vibe. And I remember, I feel like the older I get, the more I move away from that like joyful, carefree child self. Yeah. And so I was like, oh, how can I just recapture that a little bit? And I was like, I haven't had Cracker Jacks in a while. And I got a bag. They now come in bags. I got a bag of Cracker Jacks. They still have little stickers inside and also some online prizes. I have to say, like, they've really adapted well to the future.
Yeah, they have like QR codes now on the stickers.
Cool. Yes. Still tastes vile as all hell, but you know, it recaptured a little bit of my youth and I'm very into it. So I guess my official Recco of the week is think back to when you were a kid, think back to like what your favorite snack food was. Cause this was triggered from a last episode where we talked, where I went on, like I went off about Gushers. So this kind of like triggered it for me. Think of a snack that you loved as a kid or any activity that you loved as a kid and that you haven't done in a while and just do it now as an adult. Like run through the sprinklers. Yeah. Eat Cracker Jack. You may regret it later, but that's for future you. That's a problem for future you. And do it whilst wearing our merch because it's adorable.
Boom. Didn't you the other day like have – like let your – it's so cute. Look at LD, precious. Didn't you let your inner child like dress you the other day?
Oh God! Or was that just a caption? I was wearing so many colors and patterns,
but it was so cute.
I was wearing. I'm gonna break it down for you. I was wearing white ostrich skin high top sneakers. Uh-huh. I was wearing like red socks with penguins on them from the Gap. Mm-hmm. I was wearing glitter, not sequin, glitter leggings. Mm-hmm. And I was wearing, I don't even remember what the other things were. Like,
I think it was like a Nickelodeon sweater or a t-shirt. It had like Rugrats and like Nickelodeon characters on it.
It was a powder blue cropped hoodie with all mm-hmm. of the Nickelodeon characters of our youth on it. And I'm pretty sure I also had like a flannel or a teddy coat or something that I wasn't. It's in the photo where I am opening the door to our new home that we just bought, Garrett and I. And I was like, thank you. Thank you. Mm-hmm. But I was like, okay, this is it. This is what I'm wearing. Yeah. And it was very liberating. So yeah, let your inner child. Let your inner child make all of your decisions for one day. Just do mm-hmm. that. And I feel like maybe mm-hmm. that's a Recco you may have made a few episodes back or someone did. But a whole day. Just let your inner child make all your decisions. Do it.
Yeah. I can't remember if it was a Recco or if it was – it was definitely something that my therapist suggested one day mm-hmm. of like let your inner child like make some decisions every now and then. So there was mm-hmm. one day where I – This definitely was happening a lot, like right at the start of the pandemic where, because I was like, life is insane. What's mm-hmm. happening? And she was like, why don't you like work on getting more in touch with like your younger self? And you can do that like, you can do that through like journaling and writing letters to your little self and like letting them write back. And that is a really wonderful exercise. It's also, you will sob uncontrollably mm-hmm. a lot if you do mm-hmm. that. So, but to like start that process, what she had recommended was like on Saturday morning when you wake up, let your like little self kind of take over. Mm-hmm. And so for me, it was eating like two bowls of Trix cereal back to back and watching Ooh. Like 3 hours of Hey Arnold. And it was great. Like it fueled my soul in a way that, was so helpful, especially at the start of the pandemic. So mm-hmm. I will double down on your recommendation of letting your little self like make decisions for you for a day.
Yeah, and I feel like, you know, especially people like us who are adults who, when we were children, maybe didn't grow up in the most stable of environments or had this anxiety about needing to be an adult when we were kids, right? Or be responsible or be, you know, a, like the head of the family or like help our parents out or whatever the case may be. Like, we maybe kind of got gypped of a childhood. And now we are our own, we're the masters of our own fate. And so you have the choice to be like, hey, inner child, what do you want to do today? Okay, I want to go to Denny's and order off the kids menu. Great. Like, who the fuck cares if like someone judges you for that? Who the fuck cares if society tells you, no, that's only for kids? Like, fuck them.
Yeah.
Eat especially your two bowls of tricks. And hell watch Hey Arnold. And then follow it with Cracker Jacks. And then you might throw up all day. But you know what? Again, future you problems.
Yep. Yep. You'll deal with it as it comes. Or as you might it comes feel wonderful.
Up or down and out.
Oop. Mm-mm. yeah. It's graphic. Into that point, too, of like what you were saying with, you know, a lot of us felt like maybe we had to be the other head of the household or be the head of the household when we were kids. So we didn't get to experience childhood to its like fullest extent. I think that also ties into as well, like millennials, there's been so many articles about how like millennials are in sort of this perpetual childhood in a way, because a lot of them, like a lot of us can't afford to purchase a house or can't afford to like, or not just like can't afford to like think about retirement or invest in retirement, right? Like we did not inherit the same economy that our parents did. It's a whole thing. So in a way, it's like those milestones that are when you hit this milestone, you become an adult, right? Like when our, for our parents, it was, or it just societally, it's like you get a house, you get married, you have kids like that. You're an adult now. And for so many millennials, it's not happening in your early 20s like it did with our parents. It's happening in your 30s and in some for some people in your 40s. And that's okay. However, what it's doing is it makes you feel like, well, I haven't reached those milestones, so therefore I'm not an adult. And so you kind of wind up in this perpetual childhood, or at least it feels that way. And I think one, like nobody fucking knows how to be an adult. Like nobody knows anything about life. I have people in my family who are in their 70s and they're like, oh fuck, I don't have it figured out. Like there's no rules, it's all made up, and sometimes it still is trash. So all that is to say, like, I do think there's something about reconnecting with your childhood that for whatever reason gets shunned by a lot of people. And I think there's a difference between being carefree and childlike versus childish and, and not even childish, but being immature and like emotionally unavailable for some reason that gets tied to being a child. And it really isn't, because children are very connected to their emotions. Where am I going with this? It's like connect with your kid, like connect with yourself and reconnect with your childhood. Cause I think a lot of times your kid, like you as a child really knew what you wanted in life. Like, cause it was all impulse based, right? You were connected to your emotions. So reconnect with that. I think it's very, it guides you in a way, as an adult.
So, also let your inner self and your inner child guide your values, right? Because who's to say that owning a home is something you even want?
Yes.
Like, no one should, like, society has shamed us or conditioned us to feel like we need to own a home. We, like, renting is this transient thing. When in reality, like, think of the time and the money that you're saving by not having to deal with home repairs because you have a super that does it for you. Right? Yeah. So everyone has different things that they value or different things that they hold dear to them. And so there's no cookie cutter one size fits all narrative that fits everyone. And I feel like the more that we try to fit into something like that, if it doesn't align with what we truly value for ourselves, the more discontent we'll feel. So I agree with you. Check into your inner, like, intuition, your impulses, your feelings, your very visceral primal emotions, and they'll help guide you. And don't be an asshole.
Yes, don't be a dick. Like, such good advice.
Sweet. Amazing. Well, thank you everyone for listening to this episode, for watching this episode, if you're watching us on the YouTubes. And I really, really hope that you enjoyed our conversation with Janae. And shop our merch, thepeoniepodcast.com/merch.
Yeah.
It's so cute. Get that bucket hat.
Ayo. It's pretty cute.
Quantities limited. Not really, but maybe.
But maybe.
Yeah. Maybe. Yeah. Know. Yeah.
We'll make it exclusive.
We're going to start phasing some shit out soon, so. We just launched, but we're already
phasing shit out. We're already going to phase it out.
Super exclusive. My inner child tells me to. Yeah.
You know what? Your inner child's probably right. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening. Be sure to follow, like, and subscribe, please. Okay.
Bye. Bye.